Some good lyrics in there. I love that part about death giving way to victory. That's very encouraging, isn't it? We're in the book of James again tonight. We looked at the fifth chapter, a portion out of the fifth chapter this morning, and tonight we're going to go back and pick up a few verses out of the fourth chapter. So I invite you to turn your Bibles to the fourth chapter of the book of James, beginning at verse 13. I'm calling this Our Plans and God's Will. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will travel to such and such a city and spend a year there and do business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be. For you are like a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So it is sin to know the good and yet not to do it. All right, a little participation here. When you were young, what did you dream of becoming? Who wants to go first? When you were young, what did you dream that you'd grow up and become? Anybody care to share? Craig.
I wanted to be a singer.
He wanted to be a singer. You wanted to blow things up. Jerry wanted to be in the tank corps so he could blow things up. Okay. So a singer and whatever you call that. Blower-upper. All right? Helen, you wanted to be a nun. Somehow or another, she wound up in the Baptist church. I don't know how that happened. But, okay. All right? That might be the most unique for us tonight, but we'll see. All right, I saw another hand. Mary? You wanted to be a nurse. Okay. All right, who else? Somebody on this side, over here. You wanted to be a teacher. All right. A farmer. And you did. You owned a tractor when you were 12. Well, how about that? There aren't many here tonight that can say that, I'll bet. You may be the only one in the whole county that can say that. I don't know. It's one thing to drive dad's or grandpa's tractor, but there's another thing to own your own, right? What kind was it? I'm curious. Was it? Okay. My grandpa always had those. Alice Chalmers was his favorite. Yeah, he loved the Alice. Well, good. All right, somebody else. Some of you young people. What did y'all want to be when you were young? Any of you want to share? Now, they're shy, aren't they? Harrison, what was your dream?
Yeah, the first dream I could
ever remember had was to be a garbage man. All right. All right, there you go.
That changed quickly.
Yeah, well, hey. Well, I had a number of them, but some of y'all might remember that I wanted to own my own shoe store. I don't know why, but I did, and I had it all picked out. There was this little place in my hometown, and I thought, I'm going to own that place one of these days. I'm going to turn it into a shoe store. But I also had other dreams, like to be a basketball player, to be a baseball player, things like that. Anybody else? Is there anything here more unusual than Helen wanting to be a nun? Although Harrison wanting to be on the back of a garbage truck is a pretty good run for her money. She wasn't Catholic, and she still wanted to be a nun. Okay, so, yeah, there we go. Well, I just have to ask Jerry Roby, what was your dream when you were young? You care to share it? He's not sure he can remember. You wanted to be a coach, okay. All right. Well, now those are dreams, and dreams are helpful, I think, in many ways. But somewhere along the line, we have to start actually making real concrete plans for our future, don't we? And what are some of the advantages that go with making plans for the future? Can you think of some? Anybody? What are some advantages, or one advantage that you can think of, for making plans for your future? Gives you a goal to work toward. Okay, good. You're not going to waste time. If you've got a specific plan, you can begin working on that. That's good. Okay? Any other advantages for having a plan for your future? Shows you have ambition, doesn't it? Yeah. You work harder. Yeah, I mean, it gives you focus, doesn't it? I mean, it's like, okay, I know what I'm trying to accomplish here. I'm not just going willy-nilly. I mean, you know, if you don't have anything you're aiming for, you know, what are you doing? You've got to have something that you're trying to accomplish, don't you? Well, as we look at this passage here, in verse 14, you'll notice that, well, let me just ask it like this. According to verse 14, what are some mistakes that we can make when making plans? As you look at verse 14, what are some mistakes that we could make when planning? Right. You just figure out it's not the will of God. Okay. What are some mistakes that we can make when we plan? Based on verse 14. What is verse 14 telling us about that? We don't even know short term, let alone long term, do we? Right. That's good. What else? Very good. Right. So focused on what we want, maybe God has something better. Yeah. Okay. Well, we certainly, we don't know the future, do we? But we can presume that we do, and that can get us into trouble. We don't even know if we're going to be around in the future, do we? We don't have a guarantee, regardless of our age. Now, I know that when I was young, and I would assume you were similar, that you thought, boy, oh boy, I got my whole life ahead of me. You're excited about it. I mean, I remember I used to be, because I used to think about, and you probably did too, I used to think about growing up and having my own family, my own home. and just the freedoms that would come with having my own job, my own money, and, you know, I could do what I wanted to do, and I just would be, that I would get excited about that. You know, there was something about that that kind of would drive me, you know. And so I had something that I was looking forward to. Now, of course, I went through this period of time where I was like, but I don't really know how I'm going to get there. I know sort of where I want to be, but I don't really know exactly who I'm going to be, and because I didn't know I was going to wind up being a pastor back in those days. Why do you think that so many people make these kinds of mistakes, though, of just sort of assuming that, you know, that everything's going to sort of go their way and they're going to be able to do things the way they want to do? Because that's really, isn't that kind of what he's talking about here in verse 13? You know, somebody says, you know, today, tomorrow, I'm going to travel, I'm going to go such and such a place, and I'm going to spend a year there, I'm going to do business, I'm going to make money. You'll notice that there's this emphasis upon what he wants there, right? It's all about what this individual wants. And that probably is the big mistake there, isn't it? Is that he's thinking only about what he wants, the person that James is talking about here. And what's the focus? Look at verse 14, or verse 13, rather. The focus is on making money, right? I want to make money. Now that sounds as natural as can be. I don't know how many times in the church and out of the church over the course of my life, I've dealt with people and that's their focus. Talking to young people, what are you going to do? And they're almost always, you know, trying to make sure that they, and I even have done this with my own kids. You know, you need to do something where you can make money. Because money is important, isn't it? It takes money to live. The problem is when it becomes everything. You know, it's the preeminent importance. It's not that you don't want to make money. You do want to make money. But there are more important things in life even than making money. Like doing a job that you enjoy, for example. But living for the Lord is obviously more important than making money. But this individual is consumed with making money. And you know, life is somewhat predictable in some respects, isn't it? I mean, and so he's sort of thinking, well, you know, based upon the way things have gone in my life, based upon what I see going on in other people's lives, I think it's fairly reasonable for me to assume that I'm going to have a year to go to this place and do business and make money. And it's typical to assume, well, I'm healthy. I've been healthy for several years. I'm still relatively young. It looks like I'm probably going to be healthy for a long time. So why not go ahead and pursue this goal? Now here's the thing. It's not necessarily wrong to do this, is it? But what's this individual's mistake? That's what James is pointing out here. Well, one mistake that he's making, and you see it in verse 14, he doesn't know what tomorrow's going to bring. He doesn't know what his life's going to be. But he's also failing to understand who he really is. He's just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. When's the last time you thought of yourself that way? I'm just a vapor. Vapors quickly go, don't they? And that's a sobering reminder of the brevity of our lives, isn't it? Life is passing quickly, isn't it? For every one of us. Even if we've already reached our 80s, we look back and we're like, how did I get here that fast? I'm not there yet, but I have a feeling I'm going to think that when I get there. But, you know, change can happen quickly, can't it? Accidents, sicknesses, catastrophes, they can come upon us almost instantly. They never announce, by the way, 2 months from today, you're going to get involved in a car crash and you'll spend the next 6 months in the hospital. Do you think? Are you expecting that to happen? You expecting to get an announcement that that's coming? Oh, this April, a tornado is going to come through on April the 4th at 10:07 a.m. and it's going to blow your house down. No, you're probably not going to get that announcement, are you? No, these kinds of things. Oh, yes, and 5 years from today, this very day, you're going to be diagnosed with colon cancer and you'll have 3 months to live. I doubt you're going to get any of that, are you? It doesn't work like that in life. But those things could happen, couldn't they? Any of those. And lots of other similar things can happen. There's so much in our lives that we can't control. Things that are beyond our ability to do something about. We can't control the weather. We can't control the actions of other people. We can't even control our health. Well, to some degree, you know, we can eat right and we can exercise, but we can't determine whether or not we're going to get cancer or some other illness. And so in light of these things, what does he say here in verses 15 through 16? He says, it's okay to plan, but you've got to factor God in. That's the problem, the first part of what we're looking at. This individual wasn't thinking about God. And he said, you know, if the Lord wills, we'll live and do this or that. Simple, but so important. But he said, the way you're doing it, verse 16, you're just boasting and you're being arrogant, and he said, that's evil. Because you're not thinking about God. You're leaving God out. It's putting our will above God's will. Not the way God wants us to live. It assumes that we have control of what we actually don't have control of and we can't control. And now, verse 17, he said, well, now that you know this, it's evil if you don't practice it. It is sin to know the good and yet not do it. I assume he's saying that because he realizes that that what he's doing is not giving them new information. They already know that they need to factor God into their plans. They just weren't. You see, that's where Christians sometimes get themselves into trouble, right? Is they know that God comes first, but sometimes they just get too too preoccupied with worldly things. And there's nothing that preoccupies us more frequently than money, the making of money. How many people stop coming to church because they're busy out making money? And you say, well, but my boss says I have to work on Sunday. Well, I understand that, but we also have, you know, we have church Sunday night, we have Wednesday night. And too often, people have opportunity and they don't take advantage of the times that they could come to church. And I just use that as one example. But you've got to make sure that that you keep the Lord in the center of your life. That's what he's trying to get you to see here. If the Lord wills. The Lord's in control. The Lord's will be done. That's what matters. All right, well, let's have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this word. It's just simple. It's very practical. James is such a practical book, and we're so appreciative that it's in the Bible. And Lord, as we've been reading through the Bible this year, we've learned so much about you and been reminded of things that are so incredibly helpful and useful for our Christian pilgrimage from day to day. And Lord, as we think about money tonight, we're so appreciative of the money that you provided for us. And I know that we all probably wish we had more of it, but the reality is, Lord, that you've been gracious to give us more than most in the world can even dream of. We are blessed. And I pray, Father, that you will help us to be humble in the plans that we make, especially in our quest for making money. We know that we need it, but we know that what we need more than anything is you. So help us to keep our eye upon you all the time. And always remember, Lord, that our lives are but a vapor, so quickly passed, so easily extinguished. But Lord, we're thankful for each and every moment that we have. We pray that we would use our time to the full for the glory and honor of your name and for the carrying out of your will. We thank you again for this reminder from your word, and help us to fulfill it this week. We pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Craig, Linda.